Being diagnosed with HIV/AIDS used to be a death sentence, wiping out up to 30% of some sub-Saharan African communities. Today, more than 11 million people around the globe are living with the disease and a new lease on life, thanks to antiretroviral therapy supported by the U.S. government. Dr. Ted Ellerbrook is the HIV Care and Treatment Branch Chief in the Division of Global HIV and TB at the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. He helped lay a foundation of success for the AIDS initiative and worked tirelessly to expand the program, overcoming political, cultural, and operational obstacles along the way. He's a finalist in the Career Achievement category for a Service to America Medal. He took Federal News Radio's Lauren Larson back to where it all began.
I've been at CDC since 1986. Mm-hmm. And in the little after 2000, scientific evidence was developing to lead to a combination, actually three drugs, that successfully treated AIDS. And in the State of the Union Address in 2002, President Bush announced the formation of the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, which is PEPFAR. And this has been a worldwide program sponsored by the U.S. government since the initial funding was granted in 2003. And interesting enough is that this is a program that has had, over all these years, full support and full funding from both parties and both houses and each one of the presidents since that time. It has been probably one of the most successful programs and most impactful programs in place over the last 14 or 15 years. In fact, the Government Accounting Office has actually stated that this is the way to get the best output for your money. Basically, what has occurred is that drugs since the discovery of AIDS, of the HIV virus, and the creation of the disease called AIDS in the early 1980s, there's been enormous amount of research, and they found no way, no vaccine to fight the virus. But what they've actually come up with is a combination of three different medications, which now they can put in one pill, which if people that are infected with HIV can take, and they can live normal lives. Almost importantly, though, is that if they take it each day, and they take it correctly, they cannot transmit the virus. And so this program is one that involves care, treatment, and prevention, but at its core is treating people so that they can live normal, healthy lives, and so they can't transmit it. And so over the years, we've had enormous success in identifying people who are HIV infected, getting them on therapy, making sure that therapy is effective, and having them retain on therapy. In the world today, there are about 36 million people with the AIDS virus. 19 million of them are on this life-saving therapy that prevents transmission. And over 12 million of those are supported by this program. And this has, in many countries, especially in Sub-Saharan Africa, has been enormously successful. It's cost-benefit. It creates goodwill around the world. It actually protects our security in many of these countries because AIDS was a destabilizing force in the 1990s and early 2000s. It's just really, really a remarkable program. And I'm really honored to be nominated for one of the SAMI Awards because of my involvement with this program.
Now, I understand you initially wanted to roll out the same program, but you quickly found out that not every nation's the same. What are some of the challenges that you faced entering these different countries, and how did you address those?
We currently support the National HIV Care and Treatment and Prevention Program in about 40 countries. My group is primarily working in 35 of those countries. And one of the things that we've learned is that the socioeconomics, the cultural base, and basically the approach to life is very similar in most of the countries, but there are very distinct differences. And so what's really important is that we work closely with the ministries of health and with the government through the U.S. Embassy to try to support the program that's ongoing there In fact, all of our treatment programs, with some exception, are in the existing Ministry of Health hospitals. The only exception are faith-based facilities, which are numerous in some countries, such as in Kenya, but they're also actively participating in the program. The idea is that we would support the program, develop the expertise, develop the systems that are necessary to treat all these people, because we're currently at over 16,000 facilities in 40 countries, so that when we back out, which we're hoping to do over the next 5 years, and perhaps continue providing some money, but providing less on-the-ground support, that these programs can be sustained by the local governments and the ministries of health.
And I understand as you go along, you make adjustments. How are you able to be agile in that sense of, you know, rolling out this program and making those changes, gaining the trust as you go along?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the division I'm in, which is Division of Global HIV and TB, has 1,600 people worldwide. And only about 400 of those folks are in Atlanta. The rest are in countries. Mm-hmm. And so what we actually do is we have a large team in each of the countries where we work. USAID has a similar number of people in country, and there's less Peace Corps, the Department of Defense folks working on the program than in CDC and USAID, but they're also there. And so these programs are overseen by the ambassador in the country, and we interdigitate with all the Ministry of Health and local government people in the country on a daily basis. And so we closely coordinate all our activities with them because, after all, it is their country, it is their program, we're there to support it. And it really works out really well. I mean, if you actually think about it a little bit, here we have this deadly disease, and it can be treated successfully, and it's so widespread in some countries. In some countries, as many as 1 out of 3 of the adults have had AIDS. And it's not uncommon to find countries with 10 or 15%. So almost everybody knows people that have AIDS. And almost everybody in these countries knows people who are on therapy and how successful it is. So here we are. We're offering to support the country to do this. It's not a hard sell. We've had wonderful collaboration from the ministries around the world, and that's one of the reasons for our huge success.
So what's next?
Well, what we're trying to do is reach what we call epidemic control. Now, we think we're on the cusp of reaching that after the last 14 years in a handful of countries, and we expect to reach epidemic control in as many as 12 countries over the next 3 to 5 years. One of our problems has been is that despite the fact we've identified a lot of people and we put large numbers of people on therapy, and that's what we call ART coverage per nation, there still has been a greater number of new infections each year in almost all countries than death from AIDS. Mm. As a consequence, the aggregate number of people with HIV in these countries has continued to increase. But we're actually reaching the point now whereas, because these people are on therapy and can no longer transmit, that's starting to equilibrate. In other words, the number of new infections are basically about the same as the people with AIDS who are dying. So the number of people with HIV in each country is flattening out. So that's what we call epidemic control. Once we reach that, the important thing for us to do is sustain it. But we're hoping that sustaining it will be less expensive than scaling it up, so we can take some of that money and go to other countries where we haven't been as active, you know, to get epidemic control in those countries as well.
Are there many more countries that are still in desperate need of this program?
Yes.
How many?
We're working in most of them. The U.S. government, Congress, and the White House have been extraordinarily generous with their funding for this program. We have tried to make our program, and we've had flat funding, by the way, for the last decade. Mm-hmm. Despite that, the number of new people we're treating each year is increasing by as much as 1 million to 1.5 million per year, because every year we're figuring out how to make our programs more effective. And also, the price of the drugs keeps dropping. So we we've been able, with a flat budget, to go from, I don't know, about maybe 4 or 6 million to 12 million. However, we can't cover the entire world, but we're hoping that if we can continue to receive this flat funding and continue to receive the amount of money we're getting now, that as we reach epidemic control in some countries, we can take those funds and put them into other countries where we haven't been active.